we crossed the line at 4:04 on the clock, and the bombs went off at 4:09 on the clock. And I actually, despite the fact that I heard the first bomb go off, I saw it's like mushroom cloud plume of smoke, and then I heard and saw the second one. Even though that was true, I knew less about what had just happened than most everybody else in America who could look at a TV, because I was being moved away from it in the normal chute that the runners walk down after they finish a marathon. They weren't telling us what happened. They said, just please keep coming this way, everybody. Everybody keep moving this way. Don't go back. Please keep coming. But we had no way of knowing that there were like dead and wounded people not 100, 200 yards away. All we knew is that something had happened, and my responsibility was to get my, you know, companion, this blind runner named William Greer, safely out of the chute and back to his wife. He's blind. He needed my help. And then when we started seeing ambulances pouring into the area, and then when we started seeing cops running and telling for people to get out of the way, and then finally when NPR called me and said, we need you to go in the air and tell what you can see, I finally began to realize that something really serious had happened. But it was only until that evening, long after I had left the race course and was in the airport, that I actually saw the online videos that the rest of you have been watching all day. And then I started to shake a little bit.
At what point then did you realize, oh, geez, now that I've told this as a reporter, you're going to have to tell this as a comedian somehow?
Well, we were very lucky, which is that we had a scheduled week off. It's one of the reasons I was able to run the marathon and be in Boston. So we didn't have to do anything that week. And I'm glad we didn't have to deal with that problem, because I didn't know if I could be funny about it. Maybe I could. I don't know. But my role is an observer. And so I tried to keep that role, to get, you know, to clamber back up under the stands with the rest of you, as it were.
Among other observations you've been doing lately, you took a road trip for a 4-hour public television documentary about the Constitution as it's being lived today. And you did your tour for the documentary on a motorcycle, which you've said was a real conversation starter.
It is, and it was. If you want to catch people at their best, don't show up in a van and climb out like a, you know, like an FBI agent wearing a suit and tie and glasses. Drive up in a motorcycle that's been painted with the colors of the American flag with We the People in the gas tank. So it's great. So, you know, that motorcycle became the centerpiece of this documentary called Constitution USA that'll be premiering on PBS on May 7th, which is an examination of the Constitution, not as a historical document, but as it's being lived and fought about today in contemporary America.
Do you find that comedy is a conversation starter too? Do you see yourself as using comedy on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me every week to provoke public debate?
The only thing I want to provoke is laughter. I used to be a playwright and have pretensions of making a difference, of teaching people things that they didn't know, you know, showing them how wrong they were in their assumptions. Nowadays, thanks to the internet and everything else, things that can happen a world away can make you depressed and anxious. So I see the role of making jokes and giving people something to laugh about and telling them amusing stories about guys that get caught smuggling animals through airports in their pants as a noble calling.
So is that the same reason why you make your interns eat gross food every Monday?
That was not my idea. I want to credit Ian Chillog, our senior producer, with Sandwich Monday. And what happened with that was that some years ago now, we got a call from KFC. They were introducing their new Double Down, which is it's like a sandwich with chicken instead of bread. And they said, do you want one? And we said, yeah, bring some over. So they brought a bunch over, and it was a Monday. And Ian said, okay, it's Sandwich Monday. We'll do this for the blog. And that has become a tradition at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which for some people is more beloved than the radio show itself.
On April 22nd, you had the interns and the rest of the crew try Popeye's Rippin' Chicken. So
yeah, which is the grossest thing you've ever seen, although very tasty.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hand-shaped serving of fried chicken that's, by the way, created by a fast food chain that was born in Louisiana.
I think, I'm not trying to suck up to Louisiana here, but it is pretty good fast food fried chicken. You take a chicken breast and you cut slices in it so there are individual sort of what look like fingers coming off a hand of chicken. And you have more breading. That's why it's so tasty. There's more surface for the breading to be on and fry in. But it looks like this monstrous hand with too many fingers. It's both gross and delicious, which is really, that's our sweet spot for Sandwich Monday.
So Thursday, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is being simulcast live at movie theaters across the country.
Yes, it is.
And you've speculated in some of the promos for this event that if we lean in during the cinecast, you might actually get to see the audience for once.
I'm going to peer at that camera so hard. When I was a kid, I used to watch this show called Romper Room. This is maybe probably something that will be lost on any but your older listeners. At one point in the show, the host of the show, who was like the platonic idea of a kindergarten teacher, a very prim but nice lady, would pick up a magic mirror and look through it, and then the mirror would disappear and you could see her face. And she would say, I can see Caitlin, and I can see Bobby, and I can see Jennifer, and I can see Scott. And I sat there every day waiting for her to say Peter, and she never did. So I'm just going to spend 2 or 3 hours looking into the camera, saying as many proper names as I can.
I hope everyone listening shows up at Perkins Row at 7 p.m. on Thursday for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Cinecast so you can see what they look like.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.